Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
I always like to just kind of tell you where we're going. We're doing a series on the Spirit and truth. And as we thought about it and we're thinking about it, there's some churches that you've probably seen their truth churches. They preach the truth, but not a lot of Spirit in them. And I was thinking like Ezekiel talks about the formation of these dry bones, and he puts the structure of these bones together and sinew on them, but the real breath, or the ruach, as we talk about the breath, the Spirit, is what really made it a live and living army. Same as you, when the breath of God comes into you, you have life. You really need structure and you need Spirit. You really need the truth and you need Spirit. It's not one or the other. So I wanted to bring that to you, and we're going to break it down and talk about how to hear God, how to hear for words of knowledge, how to walk in the prophetic more, how to some foundational truths and biblical foundation for what you do and what you're called to do. This is going to be fun. So we're going to spend a few weeks doing that. It's going to be exciting. So I want to pray for you. Father, I pray that today the word would, there's people at so many different levels of their journey with you, but I pray you take them all another step up. I pray, God, that you would just have some aha moments all around this room where you take us into a deeper relationship with you. And I pray, if nothing else, that is the one thing, is that we see you in the center and as the purpose and the anchor, and that you would draw us closer to you this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're gonna move forward. We're going to start. I'm going to read out of John chapter 4. You can turn there with me, John chapter 4. And I really want to stop right in verse 22 and 23 is where I want to go. But I want to start in verse 5 and just set the context for where we're going to go today. And it says, so he came to a city in Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, if there's any way you could start that clock, I would love you for it. You're awesome. Now, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now, a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria, she was kind of blown away. How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? The Jews have no dealings with Samaritans, as if she's educating Jesus. And Jesus answers, and he said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you would ask him, and he would have given you living water. And the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and he said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said, sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go call your husband to come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one who you now have is not your husband, and that you spoke truly. So here Jesus releases a word of knowledge, and he got the woman's attention. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. And then she brought up a topic that was pretty sensitive to the Samaritans. He said, our father worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. Now just check this out in verse 22. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. The hour is coming and now is. Then the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So I know that's a lot to digest, but let's take it back a little bit and just see what's going on. Here's a woman. She's coming to the well, and she's still responding. First, she's blown away that Jesus would even speak to her. So let's just start there. Here's a woman. The woman's had five husbands. She's now with the man who's not her husband. She's not exactly the ideal citizen where she's at. She's got a little shame. Let's just say she could say she was carrying a little shame. Jesus touches that, right? First of all, she brings up the point and says, Jews don't even talk to Samaritans. So she's blown away that Jesus is talking to her. Just say she's blown away that Jesus would talk. And I think during these weeks, I want to talk about how God talks to all of us. And some of us are blown away that God would talk to us. God talks to you more than you know. You just have to listen. She was blown away that Jesus would talk to her. That's the beginning point. So here she is. She's blown away. Jesus is even talking to her. But then he starts to prophesy and he starts to minister and even reveals that he's the Messiah to her. I mean, you got to take back and look at this woman's life. First of all, the woman's coming at a time when the rest of the ladies aren't there. Maybe she's not so popular with all the rest of the ladies. Hello, are you here? She's coming. And so this is an interesting dynamic that God's speaking to her. And I just want to say, I really believe that God did something in her just to show her that he loved her. Sometimes I call them little love notes from God. When God does something or he sends something your way or he speaks to you, and it's just to let you know, I love you. And it's so beautiful. And something was happening to her beyond this conversation. Something happened to her beyond what you saw. She went to her town, right? And she told her whole town, told me everything I ever said. He really didn't tell her everything, right? Told me everything about my life. Really, he just told some things that only he would know. Are you here? Something happened. Something connected. Something was different. And God wants to do something because Jesus was releasing something in that day. And this woman ended up going back and she goes to her town and she gets a whole town to come out to Jesus. Now, how does a whole town come to Jesus? You can look in history. She rocked her town. She became just a committed leader. She was one of the apostolic leaders in that region. It goes down in history that you can read about her and her name and how she just shifted. Everything shifted from that point. This wasn't just a one-time incident. Her whole life and her whole dynamic changed from one point, and it started with a word of knowledge. It started with him breaking a little culture. It started with Jesus stepping out a little bit. Are you with me? And so you don't know whose life you're about to shift as you just minister in the Spirit, as you release the word of knowledge, as you step out when somebody's sitting there. Maybe they're not at a well. Maybe they're at, you know, the local coffee shop. You know, maybe that's their well. I don't know. What's their modern day? But something happened there, and something shifted, and it's beautiful. You know, I was thinking about church, you know, and they came to see Jesus. You know, when I was a child, I was forced to go to church. Church wasn't really alive. Church was kind of a bunch of rituals. We had to kneel and stand and do this and do that. And, you know, sometimes they'd speak in Latin and I'm like, I don't even know what they're saying, but I'm here because I have to. But as soon as I didn't have to go anymore, then I never went anymore. Are you here? I stopped going because it wasn't about me being in love and wanting to go because I loved God so much. And it was more about me walking through some rituals and basically not getting beat up by my mother. My mother would never hit me. I'm just joking with you. I'm just joking around. My mom's so sweet. But I'm just saying, like, you know, my mom wanted us to go. We went because mom wanted us to go. Are you with me? I didn't want to see her cry. But why did we go? See, something else shifted. Something else happened. There's something. Jesus declares something in this discourse with this lady. He declares what kind of worship God wants. That he reveals his heart, and God says in verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. It's not either or, it's both. In spirit, he's talking about the whole soul, your mind, your feelings, your emotions, your desires. Not just being, you know, physically fatigued from a journey to go to a temple. And they would make this whole journey to show up at a place. And she's trying to get him into a debate whether they should worship on the mountain here in Samaria or go into where the Jews go. It's not just about a journey and a place. It's about something inside. And Jesus was touching this. And he said, in spirit and in truth. And in truth, he's speaking about in harmony with the full revealed attested truth, not just in fallacies and controversies and ceremonies and rituals. And that's basically about what the Samaritans were doing, is they had rituals and they had offerings and they tried to mock what the Jews were doing, but they had some messed up stuff in their doctrine. And Jesus was kind of piercing that, and he's saying there's a day coming, there's a new there's a whole new paradigm coming. There's a whole new way of worship that's coming. I love in John 16 how John puts it. He's talking about Jesus, and Jesus said this. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them right now. Have you ever been in a conversation where you have so much to say, but you know you can't just say it all at that one point? Huh? How about husbands? Has your wife ever had so much to say that you know you can't take any more in? I'm messing with you. I was joking. Emily could talk like 50, like if one person could speak 100 words a minute, she could speak 500 words a minute. When she was younger, she would speak so fast. I said, I just love to hear you speak because you can get a lot done in a short amount of time. That's why I love talking to you. She could really talk. And Jesus was saying, I got so much to tell you right now, but I've got to. Jesus was saying to them, like, I got this download, but you can't even receive this download right now. But he said this. He said, in verse 13, John 16, 13, however, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. So sometimes, Jesus was saying basically the capacity to receive these downloads that he wanted would only come that if we were filled with the Spirit. But when we're filled with the Spirit, there's a whole new dimension that happens. There's a whole new dynamic where it's not even just from hearing with your ear. God can actually speak to you through different ways. God can actually speak without even going through your ears. He can communicate with you, and you know that God is speaking to you. And he said here, the Spirit would guide you into all truth. So if the Spirit's going to guide you, I want you to think about guides. Have you ever had experiences with a good guide and a bad guide? I was telling Terry, we went to Jerusalem, and it was the first time we went to Israel, and we went all over, actually. It was wonderful. We went all over Israel, and it was so awesome, so powerful. I just loved when he was sharing about his trip, and then when I got to be there, and I was up on the mountain, and I'm looking, and I just love it. I love history, and I don't know why I didn't go before, other than I kind of was like, wherever we go, I want to bring a team and minister. I don't want to just go as a tourist. That was my mentality. But I got so ministered to, and we did do ministry. It was awesome. But in Israel, while we were there, we had a phenomenal guide. He had so much information. Every place we went, he had all these downloads, and he's talking, and we're on the bus, and we'd pull over, and he just is going and going, and I'm just intrigued with all this stuff that he's saying. And these other people were there with us, and they said, I'm not telling you the name of the ministry, but they went with another ministry, and basically they said, I've been to Israel, whatever, 5 times. The one couple, they were like, we've been 5 or 6 times. And they said, this is absolutely off the charts. And we never got this much information, not just information, but downloads on pertinent things in history that really had something to do that connected you to that place in that time. And this guy was actually had a high clearance stuff. And he was telling us about battles and things. And he was, anyway, our guide was phenomenal. And because of that, we had such an awesome, it went way beyond. I said it was 10 times what I expected when I was there. But, not in, since it was my only time there, but I've had a guide in other contexts that basically the guide kind of killed the trip. If you have a tour guide and they kind of like make the trip like, this guy does not know what they're doing. They are not prepared. And I could do a better job if we just like, get out of here. Why'd I pay you? I remember one missions trip we went and we paid these people and it was horrible. It was way back in the day. Never do that again. But anyway, let's forget about that one. A guide can make the difference. You have the Holy Spirit as a guide. Now, if I would have been there and we went into Jordan, we're like, what if I was in Jordan and the guide took off? I would not have been good, right? We're in Jordan. They don't really like Christians a whole bunch. This is awkward. I'm like amazed we're going in here. What if I would have got left? Can I tell you, God never leaves you, and the Holy Spirit will never leave you. He will never leave you. Can I say it again? He will never leave you. You can applaud. He will never leave you. He will never leave you. You have a guide for life. He won't dump you off in a foreign land. He won't dump you off in a hard spot. And if you're going through something, I love that picture of the sand. If you feel like God left you, it's because there's one set of footprints, because he's carrying you. He will never leave you behind. He always goes with you. He promised. That's the word. That's Jesus' word. His spirit is with you to take you through. Whether you feel it or not, whether you're sensitive to, your ears are open to hearing, he's with you. Now, that's exciting news. And Jesus was saying, basically, I'm with you, and we're doing these crazy things and miracles in my day, and we have it all written and recorded. But he's saying, but you need to go wait in Jerusalem, because when you get the download, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to receive power from on high to go do these things. And that's what Jesus was saying, is like, now he will never leave you. He'll be with you. And it was so powerful. So that new thing that was coming, this whole new dimension, this whole new life of the Spirit, a whole new, even taking the truth to a whole nother level, this was coming. And, you know, I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about even in marriage, you know, there's so much that you have to share in your marriage, that you, there's so much that it just keeps going. It's a covenant, and it keeps getting deeper and just more wonderful. And, you know, I was leaning over to Emily, and I was just saying, you know, Dom, I was telling her, I was saying, remember we were praying years back? You weren't even like in the picture. Now you're married and you have that, you're, you know, all these things. It's like so awesome that you have someone to share with. But that's not just for this season. It's for forever while you're on this planet. And it's so beautiful. And can I just tell you, God has a covenant with you, and he's never going to stop speaking to you. And it just gets better and better and better and better. And that's the way it is in God. It's designed that way. Covenant gets better. So Jesus talked about this. The Spirit of truth has come, and he will guide you into all truth. So look at this. In verse 12, he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them all now. However, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And then look what else he says. He'll not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And then look at the end of this verse. And he will tell you of things to come. So Jesus is telling you that the Spirit is going to tell you of things to come. He's telling you that you are going to hear things from the Spirit that you can call prophetic ministry. You can call it whatever you want to call it. He's going to tell you things that are to come. He's going to speak to you. This is the normal of Christianity, that those who are filled with the Spirit, God speaks to them and tells them of things to come. You're not just blindly walking into life. And God has things to reveal to you. He wants to bring things. He wants to release revelation. He wants to tell you of things to come. And we're going to talk about that over these next weeks. We're going to talk about revelation gifts. We're going to talk about this. And it's awesome that we need to understand God. He gives us his DNA. When you become a child of God, you get his DNA. You get his inheritance. You have so much when the Holy Spirit comes into you, and he'll minister to you and speak to you in the way that he speaks to you and through you. And it's different through all different people, but it's still the same God. It's a source. We still need to look at the source. He wants to reveal things to you. And I think the most beautiful part of that is he does it to build a closer relationship between you and him. Do you know that the more things you reveal, and even when you reveal secrets, it builds a bond in between people? That the more that in a covenant, like and on the earth, you reveal things in a covenant in marriage, and there's levels of communication, there's cliches, how's it going, how's the weather, how's things? But then there's deeper things when you talk about your heart, and then you start to reveal the things in your heart, and there's a connection that happens in that. And that's what God wants. God wants to connect you. He doesn't want to just tell you a revelation for without purpose. He wants to tell you and give you revelation because he wants you to know. He wants your heart. He wants you to know how much he loves you. He wants to constantly remind you of his great love for you and the love you have and the closeness. He wants to build it. If you look at what God wants on the earth, look at the very beginning when he walked with Adam in the cool of the day. That's what he wants with you. He wants to have a communication. He wants to talk to you. It's not just for a few select children. Oh, we had 10 kids in our family. So it's like, those are the kids who mom and dad talk to. The rest of us, they don't talk to us. We just figure out what's going on and follow them. Wouldn't that be dysfunctional in a family? No, mom and dad want to talk to everybody. Well, guess what? Papa God wants to talk to all of us. Not just a few select Christians. He wants you to hear. He wants you to have and possess that ability to hear him and to identify what he's saying so that there's a connection between you. Have you ever seen somebody who's just like a name dropper? They just want to tell you everything just so you'll be impressed with all the people they know and all the things. Have you ever seen that? They just want to, they want you to be impressed. Most time it's because they have fear or insecurity, so they're trying to tell you so they can win a friend usually or something, or just to have, to be braggadocious. But they're, but they don't have it in themselves, so they're going to tell you everyone they know so that you'll be like, whoa, check them out. That's exactly what God's not doing. He's not trying to give revelation. And I'm, the reason why I'm bringing that up is I'm saying that sometimes people think that I get that so that I can keep saying how God told me this and God told me that and God told me that. You use revelation as a way to be a name dropper so that you can get security, then you miss the whole purpose of why God's given you revelation. God's not giving you revelation so that you can tell everybody everything God's told you. You hear. It's not so you can name drop how much you hear from God, because if that's how you get your identity, then you miss the whole purpose of revelation. You are a child of God. He loves you. If you never ever heard or did some crazy prophetic, you heard a word and you told some woman, oh, I saw this and that, and they turn their heart to Jesus and a whole city gets saved. I mean, if you never did anything on a mission trip, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you. Your identity is found because you are a child of God and he loves you. You need to be secure in your love with God. God loves me for who I am, not for what I do. But because I'm his child and because of his great love, he does speak to me. And I will hear. It's a fruit of your covenant relationship. It's not the backwards way. And sometimes that's been, you can see it in society where somebody's depth is basically on what they do and not on their covenant and the relationship of love. Jesus in John 15:15, he said, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I call you friends. For all things I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So revelation is coming to you because Jesus, not only are you in God's family, he really likes you. Look at someone next to you and say, God really likes you. He really likes you. He likes you like a friend. He wants to hang out. He wants to eat some carne asada, some brisket, some smoked ribs. I'm going to shift all my things and you're going to be hungry. I'm sorry. Maybe it's a kale salad. I don't know. But he loves you. He wants to hang out with you. He wants to disclose things to you. But see, sometimes we can think like, you know, no, I'm just on my own and I'm just this and I. No, God really loves you and he wants to disclose it. And he discloses it because even more, you're in his family, but you're also his friend. And God wants to fellowship with you. He wants you to be so connected with him. I just love the fact that if I do hear God. And one of the things I do is sometimes if I'm in a meeting, but I'm not in the meeting like conducting ministry, I'll ask for words of knowledge and then watch if they call them so I can, then I just go, no, I don't go around going, God told me that before that happened and God told me that. But inside I go, you're so awesome because you speak to me. You see what I mean? It's a love response to God that God speaks to you. It's not about going around to tell everybody so you get recognition. It's about connecting with a loving God. What I'm trying to say is that loving God really is the end of all. That commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength and love your neighbor, it is, he's first and everything else comes second and it's awesome. So I love that. Sometimes I've told you this before, Teresa and I will go on a date night and we're going out to eat somewhere, right? And sometimes we haven't even been to this restaurant for a long time and I'm heading there and she's like, where do you feel like going, babe? And I'm like, we're going here. And she says, that's what I was thinking. Can God give you a word of knowledge to make your wife happy? I'm heading there. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly. No, was that what you were thinking? And it wasn't like we already were planning. We haven't been there forever. Or I'm just saying sometimes God could give you a word of knowledge even to make your wife happy. God could give you a word of knowledge to make your husband happy, couldn't he? He could give you supernatural knowledge because he's a supernatural God. And in Mark chapter 14, God told him where to go eat the Passover meal. Can I just say amen from any guys that we're happy that God told him where to find the Passover meal? God gave him disciples. He gave him a word of knowledge. He said, go here, go do this, and you're going to have all these things happen. And let's go tell him the master and prepare the room for the master. I mean, how many of you guys would like to show up, like, let's call it Mother's Day in San Marcos, and all the restaurants are booked and you don't have anywhere to go eat? Not so good. On Passover, everything's booked up, but Jesus had a word of knowledge. He gave his crew so they could go eat. Some men, come on, just be happy with that one. Ladies are like, why? We're happy too. What's wrong with that? He says, food's more important to guys sometimes. I'm just saying, I don't know why. But the point is that God can even bring words of knowledge on simple things. And I know there was a lot greater aspect and dynamic. I'm not trying to make it belittle that, but Jesus, you can look through the Bible when you see on supernatural knowledge that God used the prophetic for all kinds of things. I mean, think about it. He told his disciple, go fishing, when they're like, we don't have the tax. Go fishing, throw your line in the water, and when you pull the fish out, the first fish you catch, you're going to pull out the money, and there'll be exactly enough money to pay my tax and your tax. And he did it, and it happened. And then he got a free fish. He got a meal out of the thing, too. He got fish tacos to boot. Are you here? It's like, hey, I paid the taxes, and I got fish tacos out of the deal. It's like, Jesus is awesome. I mean, he basically, like, if you think about it, in Acts chapter 10, you know, Cornelius is praying, an angel comes to him, but what are angels? Angels are messengers of God. So if an angel speaks, it's the word of God. If FedEx shows up at your door with a message or something, you know they're just the ones who bring it. Who is the author of it? So basically, God spoke to Cornelius, and he tells him, you know, Peter's name. There's a guy named Peter, and this is what's happening. Are you with me? Sometimes God gives names. So somebody will say, you know, in a service, you know, he's calling out something on an Ed, and that Ed, I feel like there's something with Ed, and there's something Ed's going through, but God wants to know I'm with you. And then Ed is in the room, or Ed somehow it reveals something. He did it in the Bible. He did it all over. He called out names. He called out, how did in Luke chapter 19, how did Jesus know it was Zacchaeus in the tree? Zacchaeus, come down. God gave words to people. He called out names. He had supernatural knowledge of names. You can say, well, he just knew it was Zacchaeus. Possible, but I don't think so. In Acts 9, God tells Ananias about Saul, right? We say everybody knew Saul. Saul was coming with things. But he told him, Saul is over here, and Saul is in this place, and here's the room and the house and the address that Saul's out, and I'm telling you his name and the address and the place to go so you can go and bring healing to him. So we're in here on a Sunday, and we're like, well, why are you guys praying for healing, and why are you calling out a name, or why are you saying this? Because he did it with Ananias. Ananias obeyed it, went to the house, laid hands on Saul, and Saul was blind for those days. Then Saul got his sight and got healed. Isn't that cool? So God used a word of knowledge to bring somebody's healing. And Paul knew when a guy comes in and says, the Lord spoke to me and told me you're here and that you're blind. And you know what I mean? He was fasting and praying. So God can whisper to one of his kids and say, go take care of this need because I have another kid over here. And Ananias fought with it. Ananias was saying, you know, I don't know. I heard about this guy. I don't, God, like as if God needs to have a debate. Anybody here? Hello? Did I lose you guys? God had a purpose, and he didn't send him to do something that he was going to fail in what he was calling to do. And when you release the word of God, it'll accomplish what it was sent to do. Even if you don't see the manifestation right before your eyes like he did, God still had a purpose. And the other one is, you can see words of knowledge were used even for evangelism. When Nathanael stands before Jesus, he sits there and he looks and he says, I saw you when you were sitting under the fig tree. You know, in John chapter 1, when Nathanael comes up, and Nathanael's life was changed. It was forever changed at that point. And he's like, you are the Son of God. And later, in his later years, he went and rocked India. And there's a whole history of what Nathanael did. Or they called him Bartholomew. Later, you can see the names were interchangeable, but TMI. But basically, he rocked India. So a whole nation gets blessed with the gospel and gets impacted. And it spurred off just one guy saying, like, you know, you're Nathanael. I saw you under a fig tree. You had a word of knowledge. So you don't know how one aspect of the prophetic can release the shift of a life and even of a nation. Are you here? Because God is the one who releases it, and it's so powerful. Look at Paul's life. He changed all of Asia Minor. He planted churches all in that region, and you could see it. Nathanael's life, he rocked India, and God will change your life to impact our nation and nations. So number one, we need to know what you worship. He said, we know what we worship, and we need to know what we worship. We need to know him and know God and know that it's about God. And I've been saying this, but it's so critical that we know God. It's not just about what you do and a system and a five-step plan and this. It's about knowing him. You know, this story, a true story that of a father and a son, and in the diary of Brooke Adams, there's a note about a special day when he was 8 years old. He wrote, went fishing with my father, an eight-year-old going fishing with his father. Come on, Steve. And it says here, it was most glorious day of my life. The eight-year-old said that, right? most glorious day of my life. And throughout his diaries, throughout his writings for the next 40 years, he would go back to that day and the influence that one day going fishing with his pop had on his life, right? But if you look back, Brooke's father was Charles Francis Adams. It was Abraham Lincoln's ambassador to Great Britain. He also had a note in his diary of the same day. And it simply read, "Went fishing with my son, a day wasted." Went fishing with my son, a day wasted. It rocked his son's entire life. He saw it as a day wasted. Can I just tell you right now, God's not a bad dad. You can take the worst bad experiences with fathers on earth. You can take all the bad dads of the earth, but you can't compare them to our God. Our God is a good and a loving God. And a day with you is never a day wasted. A day with you going off to pray with God, a day with you to just read, a day with you, anything you do with God, a moment, a 15-minute walk with God, your prayer time, it's never wasted, never. You're never going to read that from the books of heaven, that I finally connected, and when we connected, oh, it was just a wasted day. It's never wasted time. He loves you, and he's calling you to a life where you connect with him. And if we can accomplish a greater connection with him, then we've done something right over these next weeks. All of us, we can improve our connection. Even this morning, as I was talking to Pastor Teresa, I was just saying, I feel like God's calling me into a fast again. I feel like he's calling me into another season right now. And there's things that I want to fast. There's the way that I do it, but however you do it, the point is God calls you into a season to come away with him. You need to go away with him. He never, ever will see it as wasted time. He's a loving father, and that's the whole point. Jesus opened up something on the cross. Jesus went to the cross, and he knew that when he opened it up on the cross, there was a new dispensation, a dispensation where the Spirit of God would come inside of us, where the Spirit of God would come inside us, that he would speak to us, that we would hear his voice, that we would know him intimately. And when he talks about knowing us, and he said, we know what we worship. You know what that word know? That know is the same word for intimacy with a couple. He's talking about knowing at the highest level. He's talking about an intimacy. He's talking about us knowing and connecting in a covenant with our God, that we love him so much that we know he doesn't have to yell across the room. He could whisper right there because we love him so much. I was thinking about the church of Ephesus in Revelations 2 and how he said, nevertheless, I have this against you. You left your first love. And I started thinking about that. And I thought, you know, you could have a church that was the largest church in the world at a time. That church was run by the greatest apostolic leaders on the planet. I mean, Mary, the mother of Jesus, sat in the front row. I mean, you had like the best speakers, the best conferences, the best of everything. They tested out. And he said, you've tested out false apostles. Your doctrine is true. Your doctrine is correct. All these things are happening. But he said, but one thing. You left your first love. If we lose that love connection in the midst of all we do, we have nothing. That love has to be the anchor of everything we do. But I tell you, when that love is the anchor, then all those other things are opened up. Because that's what he has for us. He's calling us. He's calling his church. He wants to speak to us. He wants his voice to be heard. He wants to do life with us. It's not just about the destination that you make it to heaven. Yeah, he's preparing a place for you, but God's into the journey. He wants to walk with you every day. He wants to whisper in your ear. So number two, he said, we worship in spirit. And Jesus, he opened this new realm. He showed that there's this whole realm of the Spirit. And he talked about how when he sends the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit would fill us. And I love this in this passage in John. If you go to John 16, where we were looking at earlier, he said he will take what is of mine. In verse 14, he said, he will glorify me for he will take of what is mine and he'll declare it to you. You remember I read that? He will declare it to you. Do you know what the word declare? It's the Holy Spirit, and it's beyond whispering. He's saying declare. It means to announce. It means to announce in detail. Have you ever been there, guys? I'm sorry. I'm just saying some things. Guys are a little more headliner. Women are a little more detailed. Sometimes I can hear a little too many details, and I'm like, I got it, you know? But God wants to give us details. Hello, ladies, you're like the Holy Spirit. You'll release details. You know, my boys used to say, you know, mom's going to ask me a bunch of questions. And I'm like, okay, but you got to sit there and listen to him. She's going to ask me everything. I'm saying, tell her the details. And then they would look at me and I'm like, tell her more. You know, we had a rule. They had to come home because mom wants details. Who were you at? Well, how many people were there? What were you doing? And look at me and go, am I done with the questions? I'm like, that was one question with three parts. You have to answer three questions before we have dinner. But mom would compound it because she wanted more details. So that was one question for mom. That was three. The boy's done talking already. You know, where I went, I was with my friend. It was good. But God wants to speak details. He's going to declare it. Jesus said things more than they even needed to know. You go to the street, you go here, you go there, you'll see a donkey, tell him this. It's like Jesus had details. Jesus was telling them details, and God's revealed incredible things. So God can get really detailed when he speaks to us, and the Holy Spirit wants to tell. He wants to declare. He wants to make it known, and because he wants to shift and change the world. He's into everyone on the planet falling in love with him and knowing his great love. And the last part, three, is not only is it, number three is we worship in spirit and in truth. Is you can see that, you know, when he talked about truth, I talked about that being fully attested truth because they had some messed up stuff in Samaria. And what you need to understand is this goes way back. Do you remember in Nehemiah's story when they had the guy Sanballat? You guys remember Sanballat? Sanballat, and even go back into 332 BC, Sanballat, he was the governor of Samaria. And so Sanballat did some messed up stuff, and he built this temple on a mountain. And so he built the temple on the mountain for the Samaritans. And Sanballat went over to Alexander the Great, and he was his little puppet. And then he built this worship. What he did was is he created a replacement so they didn't have to go to Jerusalem. So it's like Samaritans, we're going to build our own temple, we're going to do our own thing, and we're going to do this, but it was twisted. And so that's why she bumped right in there when she found out Jesus is a prophet. She's like, okay, here's the question of all questions. Do we have to worship there or can we worship here? You see what I'm saying? So Sanballat was a troublemaker, but Jesus just bypassed all that political stuff and bypassed all the stuff, even as Sanballat tried to mess it up with Nehemiah, who you can see was a total forerunner in his day. But Jesus just went past it and he said, let's just get to this, let's get right to the heart of things. You're going to worship in spirit and in truth. And he talked about the heart. And Jesus was talking about it because they were so stuck on the place. And like I said, Jesus was bringing back to the point that Isaiah prophesied about the whole deal. He already laid it out. But he was saying worship is not about a physical location. It's not about your location. And that's what she said. Is it here or is it here? But he was talking about the location of the heart. Because you can have people that come in to worship and they look like they're in the same physical location, but their heart's in a total different location. And Jesus was saying, your worship has to be where your location of your heart is, not just your location of your body. I mean, someone can be there just to get their spiritual selfie and take a picture, and I did my time, I went to church, and then go run with the devil all week long. It's like, what good is that? Are you fooling God? You think you fool God? That's not what it's about. It's about what's in your heart. God sees the heart. He sees all week long how we love him in the heart, and that's what he's after. Same as in a relationship. Who would want to, just when you're around your spouse, you're doing this thing, and then you're a different person when you're not around him? Wouldn't that be ridiculous? That's a covenant. So you want your spouse to be faithful and love you even when they're not around you, and Jesus wants it all the time. He wants it, and he wants our hearts. It's all about the location of our heart. And so that's what he's calling us to, is he's calling us to this relationship of the heart. He's calling us so that our ears will be open. And I love the word when he says spirit and in truth, but I can't preach it all. Oh my goodness, so much to say. I was thinking about Pilate when Pilate was with Jesus and he went through this whole discourse and Jesus said that I came to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who's of the truth hears my voice in John 18. Pilate said, what is truth? And then he went on. Pilate heard the word straight from Jesus' mouth. You can hear the word of God. You could read the word of God, but you can still not believe in the truth. You can hear the word, but not believe it. What's the difference that makes the word truth? You can say I'm a believer, but you can be an unbelieving believer. But Jesus said, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. See, what do you mean an unbelieving believer? Mary, when the angel came to her in Luke 1, she said, let it be done to me according to your word. She believed the word. The angel came. Remember, we already set the foundation. Angels speak from God. When an angel spoke to her, that was God speaking to her. She heard God's word, and she said, basically, I believe it, even though I don't know how that's going to happen. I never had sex with anybody, and the baby's going to come out, right? Yeah, right. Okay, but I believe it according to your word. That's never been done, never happened, but I'm going to believe it. She was believing. She was a believing believer. But then we look at Zechariah in Luke 1:18, and Zacharias said to the angel, when Gabriel's talking, he said, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man. My wife is advanced in years. The angel wasn't too happy. The angel said back, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. And he sent me to speak to you and to bring these good tidings to you. And behold, you're going to be mute and unable to speak again. Because I was really stupid what you said. No, that's my commentary. But he said, because you didn't believe the words, they'll be fulfilled in their own time. Basically, God said, my word's going to be fulfilled. And then when it was fulfilled and John the Baptist was born, he got his speech back. He just said, I just stop speaking unbelief. Just stop the unbelief. We need to be believing believers. We need to rejoice with God's word, and we need to believe God's word. I love it in Luke 1:45. It said, blessed is she who believed, for there'll be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord, speaking to Mary. We need to be like that. We all need to have that open heart. We need to be those who will listen and believe. And I believe fully that that woman at the well, she connected with the love of God. She looked and she said, he's a Samaritan. He's talking to me. That ministered to her heart. The fact that he told her, you've had these husbands, and didn't condemn her, that ministered to her heart. The fact that Jesus loved on her, the fact that Jesus didn't condemn her, that shifted her whole life. And she dedicated her whole life to that loving God. She connected and she saw, because Jesus was the epitome of love, and he was the full representation of the Father. When you see the discourse with Thomas, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. She connected with the Father's love on that day, and that rocked her whole life and shifted it, where she went back and a whole city was turned. I believe whole cities can be turned for Jesus. It happened in Acts. It can happen again. I believe just one life fully in love with Jesus and connecting. Would you stand with me today? I believe it can shift. I believe even that one word of knowledge can loose it. I believe God wants to speak to you, and he wants to speak in your ears and tell you things so that you know and are assured God loves you and he's with you. So I pray right now for your lives. I pray, Father, that you would bless them. Would you just pray this prayer with me all over the room? Even if you're born again, just pray this prayer and say, Father, today I believe the gospel and I receive forgiveness for my sins. I ask you to fill me with your spirit. Now just listen, that's the spirit, Jesus said, that's the spirit of truth. And he also said that if you ask him to fill you, he will fill you, because he's not a bad father. He's a good father. He's not going to give you things. You ask for bread, he's not going to give you a rock. He's going to fill you with the Spirit. So I really believe when you ask, he'll do it. So I want you just to ask again and say, fill me with your Spirit, the Spirit of truth. My ears are yours. My life is yours. Now I just want to pray for you. Father, I pray that you would open their ears. I pray that even over these weeks, you just continue to take them to even a higher level of hearing your voice, of knowing how to walk and to move in the Spirit with love, to love people and to watch your supernatural power as you love people, but especially that you would love them. I thank you for your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, God bless you. Can we give it up for the Lord? He's so good. He's so good. Oh, his word is powerful.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.